Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Lara Rossi, who is the lead in a new independent sci-fi, space-based Nazi moon mission to Hollow Earth adventure called Iron Sky, The Coming Race, which is a sequel to The Iron Sky, which came out about 5 or 6 years ago. Welcome, Lara.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Now, I have to say that I have not much to say about this movie, except you were probably one of the best things in it.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's nice. Thanks very much. Oh, that's lovely.
I just enjoy. I enjoy seeing fearless, badass females. And the fact that your set designer, your costume designer is brilliant because
I know
they made you look exactly like Naomi Nagata from The Expanse. And
of course.
Yes, and I was surprised. I'm like, whoa, they went there. Okay, cool. And you embodied the badasseriness of her character so well. Your performance was so awesome that it distracted from other issues in the movie.
That's good.
Where did you get any inspiration or direction for portraying Obi?
So, I guess I'll be completely honest. Like, Obi was incredibly close to me. So I guess my biggest inspiration is probably, like, if I had to think of someone, maybe like Aliens. She was probably, like, when I was growing up, the kind of person that I would want to be, like, as an actor, the kind of characters that I'd want to play. So Sigourney Weaver is probably, like, the kind of badass that I was wanting to embody. But Obi in general, like, especially with the mother story, the frustrations that she has with her mom and all of that, that's very close to me without oversharing too much. But I have two moms, so I have a stepmom and a real mom, and there are issues there all the way. And I really just brought a bit of that frustration and anger and the want to sort of just be good and succeed or whatever into Obi as much as possible. So, yeah, that's it really.
And the role she plays in taking over, making sure that everybody who's living in the station or on the moon base is safe and mostly happy is a testament to what her mother did in the first movie. But you also get to kick a little ass. You get to kick a little ass in this one.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yes, spaceships and the whole mechanic side of it. My dad was a mechanic when I was growing up, so I was always hanging out with him. So that was another thing that for me I was like, oh, this is awesome. I get to actually like play this out a bit. And yeah, and also that notion of like, I think my friends definitely described me as quite like a accommodating, which is not like the kind of word that I love, but I do always try and make sure that everyone's looked after, and I'm kind of like a big mum, and Obi has a big heart, and I just wanted to really, really like convey that.
So what was it like going hand to hand with Udo Kier, because he is a staple character actor in a lot of wacky science fiction and horror movies, and that just looked delightful.
We had amazing stage combat people with us, and Udo is, I think, without offending anyone, but like the best actor I've ever worked with. It's just incredible to work with him, and he was so up for just like, he's like, yeah, just go for it, hit me here, do this. He was really, really unafraid to just like get fully stuck in. So it was really fearless, you know. We just kind of, I think we both came away with a couple of bruises. So yeah, it was real good fun. He's incredible.
So did you have to do any extra preparation for the physicality? Because you're climbing, you're running, you're punching, all sorts of fun stunt person stuff.
Yeah, so I did have a stunt double, but she was bored because I wanted to do all of the stuff. So I made sure that before we started the movie, as soon as I knew that I just basically just tried to be as fit as possible. And then very often with Vladimir, just before Vladimir, who plays my love. So before we would start scenes, before they'd call action, we very often would do like loads of press ups on the floor just to get like as pumped and as ready as possible. So we were all like working out quite a lot, just trying to be as sort of like strong and ready to do whatever as much as possible. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. Any excuse to be as healthy as possible.
Now, how much of the set that you were interacting with, how much was green screen and how much was practical?
So the moon base was completely built. And when I first, so we shot all of the moon base stuff first, and that was in Antwerp in Belgium. And when I first got there, I genuinely couldn't believe my eyes because it's just fully, there's nothing that's been green screened at all in those moon base scenes, and I was just like, this is no acting required, like the world is completely built up around me. And so it was really easy to just get into the character and get into that world and just like do my job, do our jobs, you know, because it was all there. And then when we moved into the Hollow Earth, so we had a lot of it was built up in terms of like the sand dunes and whatever's, but that's when the sort of green screen, actually blue screen, because a lot of our set was green, so then you have to have a blue screen, so otherwise obviously the grass would disappear. Mm-hmm. But so that's when we started working with that, and that's when like I guess my theatrical background came in handy, because you just have to imagine, you know, you have to play as though you're a kid, because you're literally acting with like laser spots on the wall. So it was challenging, but as you said before, the set design was just like incredible. My mind was blown. I was like, wow. And it was huge as well. It was really cool.
So aside from the fighting, what was for you the most fun or the most surprising aspect of working on this film?
I want to say, it's not going to sound cheap, I don't know, but like I just loved pretending to fly spaceships. This is an actual dream come true, just like having all of this, just like being a pilot. Like I was a pilot of these, you know, I've grown up with Star Wars and all of that, and you don't realize until you get in there, like, I don't know, of course it's all pretend and whatever, but it was still, and then we'd see some of the rushes after, and it was like, I am genuinely flying a spaceship, this is absolutely amazing. So that was really, I just really felt like I was in something quite like obviously really silly, but really committed, and it felt really it just felt joyous to be a part of, really.
So are you a big science fiction fan? Would you want to keep doing movies where you're flying spaceships?
Absolutely. 100%. I just think it's the most fun, like, why play out, like, dreary drama scenes when you can just be flying spaceships, basically. Yeah, it's great.
So what are you working on next?
So at the moment, I'm back at home. I'm in London, which is where I live. And I've just done about 6 months of theatre. So I did two shows just now. So I'm now moving on to doing a bit of television. So I'm doing a show called Flesh and Blood at the moment for one of our TV channels here called ITV. And it's like a thriller, basically. Someone dies and then we slowly figure out who did it. And yeah, so I'm back with my feet on the ground. No spaceshipping at the moment.
Cool. So where can people find you online if they want to suggest other spacefaring, say, novels or comic books to read?
So I am present on Instagram. I'm not on it all the time, but I do check it occasionally. I am Rossi Me on Instagram. I recently kind of decided to detach myself a bit from Instagram because it was infiltrating my life a bit too much. But I do check it. So hit me up.
As a self-proclaimed Twitter addict, I understand completely.
Yes. It can get quite full on. So I check it like once or twice a week rather than, so I don't have it on my phone. I just have it on my iPad and I just look at it at sort of like designated times instead of it being like a constant stream of like internet invasion into my brain.
So just one last question. Do you yourself have any, say, spaceship models or science fiction toys to connect you to your roots as wanting to be a fighter pilot out in space?
Actually, I don't. I do have a dinosaur. I do have quite a few like dinosaur models, which I love. And that's it. And then as a souvenir, I got given my purple coat that my mother wears that I then wear at the end of the movie. That's what I have as, you know, a souvenir of the movie. But I've always been, I'm looking at one right now, looking at a T-Rex on my shelf right now. So that's probably, but no, I don't have any spaceships.
Yeah, if you were to get a spaceship, what would it be?
I think I'm going to be like really faithful to my movie and say that I'd like a Valcor.
Okay, that works.
I just love the half Nazi World War II weird gel that happens with the modern like ability to fly into space. I just love the design. So I think I'd want one of those actually. Pretty vintage, I would say.
Well, in any event, I think it's absolutely cool that you have a T-Rex in your office.
Yes. On myself right now.
Yes. Laura, thank you so much for your time today.
No, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care. I told that devil
to take you back. Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
Hi, I'm Aaron Ashmore from Sci-Fi's Killjoys, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
It is so, so hard to do an interview with someone you want to talk to, but the movie that they're in or promoting is beyond a train wreck. I still have no words for the Iron Sky sequel, Iron Sky, The Coming Race. I really don't. The first Iron Sky was ridiculous, but it was an enjoyable ridiculousness. And I was totally serious when I said that she was the one thing to keep me watching throughout that whole movie. That and figuring out what Udo Kier's outfit was going to look like in successive scenes. I mean, that guy is a consummate scene chewer. So he's always fun to watch. And other than that, that movie hurt. It hurt. And I have no words for that level of pain. typically I see that in bad horror movies. This was just disappointing. Very disappointing. Anyway, Lara's a lot of fun, and I think we should mount a campaign to see that one of her upcoming projects is a science fiction project where she gets to be the hotshot fighter pilot. We owe it to her to put her in a spaceship in a better movie. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. What else do we have? Killjoys has continued to excel. I think they're pulling out all of the stops for this final season. I am going to try my best to get Tom Allison, an interview with Tom Allison, because he is a delight to watch. Over the top doesn't even come close to what he's doing, and yet he has some of the best funny lines, some of the best dramatic lines, and a stunning wardrobe. I need to talk to this man. What else? Pennyworth. If you have Epics, Pennyworth is worth watching. The only thing that Pennyworth makes me upset about is that Disney, Marvel couldn't figure out how to do this with Agent Carter. Agent Carter is a show that deserves to still be on the air. If they could keep going with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we could have seen more Agent Carter to see how the foundations of S.H.I.E.L.D. were set up that brought us to where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started and has taken us so far. We lost Agent Carter too soon. That series should have gone more than two seasons. And seeing Pennyworth, yes, I have access to the entire first season. I'm watching it with glee. Seeing what DC can do with Pennyworth, why couldn't we have gotten something as dedicated to atmosphere like we're getting with Pennyworth? Anyway, I don't know that there's anyone out there who'll make that comparison or who'll even care. It's just something I thought of. We have a period piece with Alfred in his younger days, more of a it's a little bit more James Bondy. There's absolutely no Batman atmosphere in this whatsoever. This happens before he goes to work as a butler for the Waynes. So we get to see, I guess it's the secret history of Alfred. Anyway, the show is fun. If you have a chance to see it, go check it out. You won't be disappointed. What else do I have? I think we have a couple more reports from Andrew from San Diego Comic-Con. Maybe one more. I'm not sure. Either way, tune in for that. I need to get Andrew and Michael, Nerd Soul, on the show for a geeky discussion one of these days, and I will work on that. So, if you have any other questions or comments, please feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976, or send me an email, summer@sliceofsci-fi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and Player FM. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher, please leave us a review. It will help raise our profile on those platforms so other people can more easily find the show and check it out based on your recommendations. The contact information for the winner of the Pet Sematary Blu-ray giveaway has been sent off to the powers that be. So hopefully you should see that showing up in your mailbox in the next 5 to 10 days, give or take. Currently, we're giving away a copy of Claudia Christian's Snack Hacks book. So come to the website or check out the Twitter feed for more details there. You can follow Slice of Sci-Fi on Twitter, at Slice of Sci-Fi. You can check us out on YouTube and Facebook. We are Slice of Sci-Fi over there as well. And of course, there is the website, sliceofscifi.com. Come on by, check out the interviews, the reviews, and leave your own comments therein. Newest reviews that are up. Oh, yeah, season one of Manifest, the DVD for that. There's no extras on that DVD. How does anybody even think that's a good idea these days? But the pictures are pretty, and you get to binge the entire thing with no commercials. Just saying. I'd like to thank everyone for your support in keeping these beasts running. If you want to help support the shows, Babylon Podcast, Writers After Dark, Slice of Sci-Fi, Charlie Jade, go on over to Patreon, patreon.com/sliceofscifi, and sign up to become a supporter, a monthly stipend to keep us running, so to speak. Or if you just want to throw a couple bucks our way every now and then, use the PayPal link, paypal.me/sliceofscifi. I'd like to also throw a shout out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci-Fried, for providing the theme music for the show. Thank you, guys. You always have a special place in my heart. And if you want to hear more of their geek rock stylings, head on over to their website, sci-fried.com. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.